Hey everybody, welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared, and with me, as always, is Dan.
Dan's here.
Hey Dan.
Dan's here.
Dan, I like to consider you as my special guest that just won't leave.
You know what? I like to be considered as that.
How great would that be if you were just supposed to be like here for like one or two episodes and you just kept sticking around? You're like, I don't know. He keeps showing up for the recording.
Shit. I just remembered that I wanted to talk to you about something off mic that I got to like make a note of.
Oh, write it down. Write it down. Is it about your hepatitis?
No.
J, the new one that's only you have?
No.
Where like human eyeballs come out of your hemorrhoids or something? I don't know. And they blink it and blink and wink at you. Blink and wink is
blink and wink.
It's the name of my new peep show. Stay tuned for that. It's only happening in my closet. Okay. Anyways, guys, this is a place where we review independent films. Who would have thought? We do it because we love it. We like to do it. It's fun. We like to highlight people who are out there. They're making those films and they're making their art, and we want to appreciate that.
Yes.
And also critique it because what's the word? Sick? Disturbed?
Sick, disturbed, critics?
Yeah. Mentally unwell, and we enjoy critiquing other people's art. we watched Return to Horror Hotel.
Yes, this
came out this year.
Yes, absolutely it did. And okay, this was suggested to us by Debbie Johes on Instagram.
Debbie Johes. Oh, Dan, why don't you give us a little elevator pitch on what the fuck this movie is?
Okay, so Return to Horror Hotel is a omnibus film. It has four different vignettes in it, and they all kind of transpire around this hotel, this seedy hotel. Mm-hmm. First one is Sleep Tight. It's about bed bugs. Second one's about a cursed charm called Guillotine. Then the third one's called No Time for Love, and it's a weird time travel ghosty story. Mm-hmm. And then Houdini's Hand is about Houdini's hand and it being magical.
Omnibus. I feel like there's comedy there, but I can't find it quite yet. Please try to revisit this topic maybe 10, 20 minutes down the road. And we'll see if I have anything.
Omnibus.
Yes, so it is a omnibus film, like an anthology, I like to say, for those not nerds out there. And I will preface this before I start saying anything. I said this to Dan off mic, and I think it's pertinent that I say it now. On the mic, as we call it in Hollywood showbiz, I had been vacationing all over the place and having fun, going to national parks, you know, getting sun. Actually stepping out of my cave, which is nice. The giant ball of light is bright, but it feels good for a time. And then I have to look away, and then, you know, I go back to my cave. But I had to take a 4-hour drive back home. It was there and back, and I was fucking exhausted. But I wanted to record this podcast, so I immediately sat down and watched this movie. So I might have been in a grumpy mood when I watched this film. So let's keep that in mind. I'm a grumpy boy. That's all I'll say. My general thoughts of this movie is I think there are some of the shorts that worked,
mm-hmm.
and there's some that just did not work at all for me.
Oh, okay.
I liked the special effects.
Yeah, the special effects were cool. Good. Yeah.
Especially in like the first story with the little flea guys, those were neat. I liked the special effects in the third film we'll talk about with the time traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I thought a lot of that was pretty creative. I thought the fourth film especially was pretty funny, and I thought the overall directing was serviceable for what they're trying to do.
What I feel makes this movie fantastic is not its plots or its collective plots, but its collective stories. Like, all of the implied stuff that doesn't get filmed is so intriguing, and it just like it kind of shrouds everything in this funk that you have to like. This movie's creepy in general, is what I'm saying. Especially with the first one, like, okay, so we'll talk about Sleep Tight is about these bed bugs that become gigantic because two people are like harvesting them for like drugs. Like they grind up bed bugs and they put it with cocaine, and then it's like,
which is a cool idea.
It's a fucking amazing idea. And that's what I loved so much about it. And like the way they're doing is like they're letting them feed off of their legs, and it's like it's so fucking disturbing. And you don't really get to stay with that too much because the whole film is about the setup. So, like, where the most interesting thing is the bed bugs being snorted, we don't get too much of that. We get just a creepy vibe throughout the entire thing.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I'll also say my two biggest issues with this are the writing and the editing of this, because scenes go on for too long.
Okay, yeah.
And some of the things that these characters do and say just don't make any sense. Like,
so this one guy,
peoples don't do that.
One guy, he's a bodybuilder, and he harvests his sweat
to sell it to women as an aphrodisiac,
which is ridiculous.
Which is disgusting.
It was. It took me a while to like be like, okay, I guess I just saw that because it made me want to go shower. But what's great about this guy is he's kind of a red herring, because I thought the bed bugs were going to get big because they were eating all of his steroid juice. So it led me astray, and then I find out that it's these fucking weird drug dealers that are in the same hotel.
Well, that's what was because you call it a red herring, I call it infuriating. Because okay, so the first story, we have this Hollywood lady, party lady, who I thought was an actress, because they kept cutting to these TVs, and it showed the Hollywood lady with the bodybuilder guy in a film scene together. But I don't think we were supposed to associate them as, like, different or the same character. I don't know. I was a little confused.
This movie, like, if you let your brain wander too much, you will get a little confused. Like, there were certain pockets of this film that I'm like, wait, what? Why is this happening?
Well, there's this whole TV motif where they keep turning on the TV, and I don't know, maybe I was wanting to read more into it, but I just think it was like a weird filler. I'm not sure why it was there. It was just like, hey, in this scene they turned the TV on, so we have to have something. So it was cool that they filmed their own television stuff, but because they used the same actors, it made me think, are these supposed to be the same people?
Oh, yeah.
Who are also in the scene on the TV. Are they stars? And I was a little confused, which is normal for me. I'm usually confused. So we have this the party woman with these two kids who are their
brothers. We prefaced this by saying that you don't like it, but we didn't preface anything that I said. Like, okay, I'm not going to say that this was a bad movie at all. Like, there's a lot that goes with it in terms of just me enjoying it. But like I said, my disappointment comes whenever I start to not be able to understand the movie. I'm like, why are we doing this right now? So like,
yes,
we'll get to those pockets and then I'll kind of talk through them. But overall, I kind of enjoyed this movie.
All right. So we got that lady. She's got these two kids she doesn't want.
Yeah.
So that's a whole story going on. This is all in the same first story. Then we have the bodybuilder. He's in his room. He's lifting a 20-pound dumbbell for some reason. This dude is massive, a monster, and he is lifting a 20-pound dumbbell and shaving his chest, which is, I don't understand. So he, I could talk about the bodybuilder for hours. It is an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in Christmas. And oh, so we have him, and then we have the two drug dealers, who are probably the most interesting aspect of the entire
film. The drug dealers are fucking hilarious.
I like them a lot.
I love the actors.
I like the actors. I like them together. I like the special effects.
It's like, you ain't gonna smoke it? Because if you don't smoke it, you don't get off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like what saves a lot of the different spots are the acting from some of the actors. And these two are really
well, good. Okay, and the writing, some of the dialogue was, like, pretty awesome. Just, like, because they write their characters into awkward situations that just kind of disperse. How, like, the bodybuilder, he calls the manager. He's like, yo, I got bed bugs. And the manager's like, that's not my problem. Click.
Which it clearly it is, totally his problem. Is his problem. It's literally the only reason. It's like, come on. It's what you do.
But it made me laugh.
That was funny. I liked the manager for sure. Like the lazy dude who just eats chicken all the time. It was fucking great. There are moments where I'm like, okay, I'm into this. But like I said, what hampers it is characters will do and say things that just don't make any fucking sense. And the only way I can equate that is to, like, how, why is this wrong, is through the writing. Like, the writing has to be, there's problems there.
Right, but what my argument for the film is, it's the implied writing that saves the day. Like, even though we kind of know what they're doing, they're harvesting bed bugs so they can get them to be smoked or snorted or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's just this overall mystery about why it's happening in the first place and how they came to know that this is a fucking weird hallucinatory drug.
You have the little kid aspect, you know, and that's like something you could use as like, okay, this is a fresh point of entry for us as viewers. We can view this horror happening through these little kids' eyes. But they don't really do that. They just kind of like... They give the little kids the script and like, here, you know everything about what's going on already.
I will admit, yeah, that the kids kind of felt like dead weight in the film. Like they didn't need to be
they
there.
Somehow became the heroes and they know everything already. It doesn't make any sense. Like they know there's monsters, they know how to stop them, they know what they need to do to escape. And I'm like, how would these kids have any understanding of what the fuck is going on? They haven't even seen a single bed bug yet. It was very bizarre.
So, and by the time the kids see them, they're cockroaches, not big.
Yeah. So I get it. You guys wanted to use cockroaches because it's cool and it looks fucking cool, but these are supposed to be bed bugs. So I'm a little confused. Like, why don't you just make like big
replica
like
bed bugs?
Big fake scary bed bugs.
And like shake them in front of the camera with googly
yes,
eyes.
Yes, I would have liked that better. Not with googly eyes, but I would have liked that better if you just like put them all over someone. They're like, ah.
And oh my god, I just spray what would... So what you're saying is if I attach a gigantic bed bug to a fishing line and film the entire fishing line, it would be better?
If you were somehow able to not have the fishing line show
oh,
up.
Oh, but
the
see
shot...
that like my mind immediately went to just something tied to a string and you see the string as it goes through the camera.
It makes me think of Freddy Got Fingered in that scene where he's doing the sausage hands thing and he's playing the piano and the sausages are dangling around. Oh, the daddy, would you like some sausage? That's a good movie.
Yeah.
So the little kids, they're rough. I had a hard time sitting and watching them. Like, that made me sad. One, because they're omnipotent. They know everything. And the little kid's like... So they build a blanket fort. He's like, I built this blanket fort so I could keep the monsters away. And the little girl's like, I'm scared. He's like, don't worry. I'm going to go outside and investigate. He's like, I'm really fast. I'm basically Sonic the Hedgehog. And you're like, okay, this kid's going to haul ass, right? He gets outside and he's just like slow. He's like moving through molasses. He's slowly, he's like the first man on Mars, just like bunny hopping, moving as slow as he possibly can through this just... this death room. And then he opens the door and it's like there's a little latch. You're like, oh no, he can't get out. And then he just reaches up and undoes the latch. And I'm like, all right.
Okay.
And then he grabs his sister and is like, I'm going to walk you slowly out of the room now with your eyes closed. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Hold on a second. We don't need to nitpick every fucking detail because we got to get through four movies here. To put a halt to your complete and utter nonsense, I'm going to give more complete and utter nonsense that is not going to make any sense now that so much time has passed.
Yes.
But you said the little kids are rough?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Does that make the adults meow?
Wow. Dan, you're doing a great job.
I'll be here all week.
So I'm done with the kids. I'm done with that lady.
Can we just move on to the next guy. Film? Because we fucking 16 minutes
no.
in.
No, I refuse. Okay, no. So wrapping up, I like the bodybuilder character. I wish they built more on him. I wish he had more of a reason to be in the story. I liked the two drug people. I thought they were great. And little kids, keep on keeping on. Keep trying. All right.
You did good. Just another salute to the special effects, because that one lady that ends up dead at the end with her face out.
Yeah, and her jaw.
That was a good jump scare. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. Yeah, so I like a lot of that stuff. The special effects are pretty great. Okay, let's go to the second movie. I'm sorry. I'm a rambling man.
Like, so basically what you said is you don't like this film, but you still liked it.
I didn't like this one.
So next one is called Guillotine.
Yes.
It's going to be an interesting one.
Guillotine. Some car dealer guy has a magic pendant from... who is
Marie Antoinette's guillotine?
Marie Antoinette, which is like the last queen of
France. Scots or France, England, or whatever. This is not a history podcast. Go New away. Zealand. If you're coming here for your history lessons, get out.
Arkansas.
Anyway, this picture, Jared.
This guy
asks
unbelievable
the age-old question that I require an answer to. Jared,
would you tap that?
Why do men always have to act like men, Jared? Huh?
I know, right?
So basically these two women, wait, this is where I started to get confused.
Oh, this is where you started to get...
No. This film specifically is where I started to get confused. So these two women come because this one, the pretty one, she like, the pretty one. Oh my God. Anyway, the pretty one.
Well, in the film, in your defense, they make that lady look as unattractive as possible, even though she's a good looking lady.
Yes. So the blonde one, she's like, I found this thing online and I'm going to trade my car for it. And then the one who is the brunette, she's like, why are you even doing this? This is a weird deal. And the whole time she's like, this is a weird deal. Now, the trade goes down, right? They go in the hotel room. She gives him the keys. He gives her the guillotine and tries to have sex with her. And then she kicks him out of the hotel that he was in.
Oh, that was hilarious. I thought that was funny.
I was confused by that.
When you put on the charm of Marie Antoinette, it makes you the most attractive person ever. And men basically listen to whatever you say.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal. And the way they show that is like they kind of like put on like a ball gown and put makeup on and like get their hair did. Which I thought was kind of funny, and I'm like, are people seeing that? Or is that just like a hallucination by them? But then one of the characters references the sleeveless gown that she was wearing when she transforms. So I think it's like a Sailor Moon type of situation. And I would have really liked a transformation scene, and I thought that would have really spiced things up.
That would have been fucking amazing. You're right. Like a fucking werewolf transformation instead of just like a transformation into
like
a
close up of the
gown.
Hands and the legs. They're like transforming and the hair is like coming up. Oh, that would have been fucking rad. So we got this dude, Al Sharko, who is, I'm going to say, probably my favorite character in this entire thing. I like Al Sharko. He's a weirdo. I like his dumb name. It's great. He's this mechanic. He's got his name on his... He got a little name tag, Al Sharko. And he's selling this trinket that he got from One Arm Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Who I also really like. One Arm Nixon is great. There's some interesting characters in this, for sure. And you actually get to meet him in the last one, which was fun. So, he's selling this charm for just a used car? That I couldn't wrap my head around. I'm just like, you have this insanely powerful thing.
He has a mechanic shop. He probably was just, you know, using it for parts.
But like, you have this amazing artifact that you somehow know about, and you know what it does, and you know how it works. You
Jared,
could like take over the world with this thing.
What would you do for an amazing artifact?
I'd wrap it immediately around my dick and put a wig on my penis. And just trick every man I saw and make them do whatever I want. Oh. Oh, boy. Miss Mushroomhead to aisle three. In the whole thing with the two friends, I was like, why is that other friend there? And I guess she's the assistant to her because she's in beauty pageants. So that kind of made sense to me. So I kind of liked a lot of the stuff that was going on with like Al Sharko and him trying to be a creeper. And then they start to, then they like send him away, which is funny. And then they start to fight over the charm. So right. I definitely like this more than the first one. I'll say that.
Oh, I mean, I like the references to Dorian Gray as well, because the girl's name is Dorian Gray, and it's that story mm-hmm. about the guy who sold his soul to the devil or whatever. I forgot how fucking Dorian Gray
Oh,
goes.
I don't even know the reference.
So. Well, basically, just like, he doesn't age because his soul is in a mirror.
Oh, damn.
And he can only see, you know, his old self in the... God, it's been forever since I've actually read that book.
Well, closing thoughts on this one. What did you think? I thought it was pretty good. I liked how the nerd lady...
So, this one makes me start to question, do we need the same intertitles for each film? Like, instead of it being one long film, it's like four short films because each time there's an opening credit sequence.
Well, yeah, I think that's kind of the whole deal. It's like short stories within...
I've seen omnibus films...
I mean, they can transition
films
to it.
Yeah, I've seen omnibus films that don't do that.
Yeah. I see what you mean, where they could use a transitioning shot and then maybe have the title yeah. of the next story instead of having to do the horror hotel every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So please tell us about the next film, Danny.
No Time for Love.
No Time for Love,
no
baby.
No Time for Love.
I don't got no time for love.
Just in case you're wondering why we're singing it, some people like to have their titles sung to them.
That's right.
So we're going to do it for everyone.
I just do it because that's how my brain works. It's a broken radio that just cycles through either songs, real or imaginary. And I like to also call it mental illness.
So, No Time for Love is about a hermit dude.
Yeah. Not an actual hermit dude. Relax.
A hermit
dude. That would be
cool
though, right?
Who gets... Who gets a visit, and we find out that he's a ghost.
Ghost.
So, my first question.
Yes.
Is.
Who are you?
There's this girl who needs to deliver 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah.
To book, this hermit yeah. dude. Because yeah. he just needs this book for some reason. It's his favorite yes. book, and he's going to read it for like the 25th time. So. The boss is like, he tips really well, but he doesn't come out and he doesn't let anybody in. So if you can get in there, because she's like, oh, I'll get in. She's like, well, if you can, then I'll double the delivery fee. She's like, you're wrong.
Okay, yeah.
So she goes there with this ploy of using crutches to like try to finesse her way in, essentially. Now, my biggest question to you, why did she use crutches the entire way there? If it was just a ploy.
Well,
for
she's
the
doing
one
the
guy.
Crutches, and then she stops doing the crutches near a dumpster, and a guy like winks at her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, ugh, and then does the crutches away from him. And I didn't understand that at all. I was very confused. And then she gets to the door and is using the crutches, but then like falls and like hits her head on the door.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because she's in crutches?
I mean, you would think because she was practicing the whole time getting there.
I mean, maybe she did that on purpose, but I don't think she did. And then when she wakes up, the guy is, like, helping her and, you know, which is normal. I understand that. She has a concussion now and a huge gash on her head. And the sailor guy, I guess we'll call him, he's like, oh, it's just
Navy
a small
SEALs
scratch.
Marine officer. No, he's a submarine force of the Navy's, the Navy dudes. But here's the thing.
He's a seaman.
He's a seaman, yes. Here's the thing.
In a
you ready?
Submarine. Yeah.
She is trying to make small talk with him. And he's like, I used to be a submarine commander. And then she's like, I love submarines.
As you do.
So this is the one that the dialogue started to fall a little bit short for me.
Yes. And it made me the most sad because their relationship goes from 1 to 100 within the span of moments, and it goes back and forth to mm-hmm. where like they're super hot on each other and they're gonna get married, and then they're like, oh, what am I doing here, I should leave, and they're like, oh, we should fuck right now, ah, I don't even know who you are, I'm gonna fucking jump out this window, and you're like,
but then I feel like at the very end she kind of is like, she wants him to fall in love, but then she doesn't want him to fall in love with her.
And then she knows everything that's going on. She completely accepts that there's this time traveling aspect or this fast forward aspect, and that he's aging rapidly. And I don't know why any human being would ever be okay with what's going on. She's just not acting normally to this situation. It's almost like she's in on it. And that's weird to me. You know what I mean? She's like, I know what's going on, I'm going to help you. And I'm like, no, you would try to fucking leave as quickly as possible. This is insane. You know, or like you'd at least freak out, or I don't know, something. So
it's the curious case of Simon Submarine.
What's unfortunate is this is one of the most interesting ones for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really into this one, but like we're saying, the dialogue and just characters already knowing things they shouldn't know was hampering this for me.
Right.
And that makes me sad. So like she's just waking up. She's got the big gash on her. No. She has a huge gash on her head, but the sailor says it's not that big, which is weird. And they cover it up, and then they immediately kiss, which is like a complete stranger has just kissed you, and then they're like already immediately falling in love. And I'm like, I know this is a short movie or whatever, but that's fucking crazy.
Well, you've like, never been in love like that before. All right. Sometimes there's love at first sight, and those people just fuck on the streets. You know what I mean?
Well, if that was the case, then why does she rebuke him a little later on? And it's all over the place. I will say I like the special effects. I like how, like, time... I like how they both notice the clock is moving very fast. I thought that was, like, only in the sailor's head. But it was actually happening.
And then... they give him
the old people makeup, which I thought was cool.
A comment of mise-en-scene. Just another visual aid to let you know time's passing fast is there's just three slices of bread just left on the table for no reason, except to just gather mold.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I love the effect of the plant dying. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some neat effects here, and I like the idea. It's just the execution was a little rough for me. Okay, so final thoughts on this. What do you think? That was mine, I guess.
I love submarines.
I want to be in a yellow submarine. Okay.
Last little vignette is called Houdini's Hand. It's about like it's one of those guillotine deals that we saw before going south. But the Houdini's Hand box is in the bodybuilder's drawer in the first film.
Yeah, well, it's obvious that they keep using the same hotel room for each of the things. I think that's kind of like the theme of it.
Yeah, but like, how did they get it out of the room if it was already in the room?
I don't know. I don't know. This one is probably the funniest for me. I like the two actors.
Yeah.
I like their back and forth. I enjoyed this more because it was funnier.
Yeah, it is. A lot of the humor worked. The only thing that I wasn't quite clear on was Al Sharko's in this again. He's at his mechanic shop, and he's receiving a call from one of these characters. But his mother is in the mechanic shop for, like, I don't know what reason, and she's dressed up like an old lady, like an old-timey grandma that still wears bonnets. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
It's really weird. It's really weird. I don't know. It's just part of how silly it is. And I liked it when this film got silly with its short stories. Because I wasn't really scared throughout a lot of these. But whenever there was comedy, I thought it was on
point. Yeah, like the drug dealers on the first one were like fantastic. Like they were equal parts creepy and equal parts funny, I think.
And whenever this movie wanted to gross me out, it
did.
Succeeded in that. For sure. It's just the scary aspect, it didn't really work for me. But I like these guys. The only issue is it felt like the audio was a little off for this one, or maybe the ADR, some of these guys talking. I don't know what it was. It was a bit distracting, but I got used to it as I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, it gave it an air to it. Like it almost, it wasn't bad. It was almost like a whole nother layer to the film of weirdness.
Yeah.
And I think it was because I like these actors so much that I was willing to forgive this.
Right.
This like bizarre ADR that they had. They probably had to do it for some reason or another.
Right.
And I loved the one thing where I was like, I'm totally fine with is one arm Stumpy Nixon kept calling them One-armed and he knows Nixon. Everything about yeah. what's going on. For some reason, I was totally fine with. I'm like, he's a supernatural. He's a weird supernatural mafia boss. Yes, and because all the weird ancient relics are all his. I just figure he's some kind of crypt keeper of like bizarre artifacts, and he's magical too. So of course he would know everything that's going on.
Right.
So in my mind, I could justify that, and that was totally okay. And I loved him calling them and fucking with them, and he's like, "Oh, I know you have my hand." And now I want interest. So one of you has to cut your hand off and give it to me.
Yeah.
And I don't care which one. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I'm like, oh, they're going to fight. But they do, but they don't even show it. And I was like, oh, why? They should have showed it, Dan.
They should have shown it.
Why didn't they show it? How did you feel?
Like you said, I like the banter back and forth. And I wanted more... I guess I wanted more of the hand, more creepiness, because like everything they did was kind of in the shadows and you didn't really see too much of it until like the end. And I think they could have done a lot more with like the spookiness of the hand, like kind of the offset, the comedy that was the banter between the two of them.
Yeah, they only show the hand one time and the hand is doing things, but you don't get to see it do things.
Yeah, well, I mean, that may be an issue of don't show your monster as much, but... It would have been nice to see a little bit more creepy.
Yeah, I agree. I liked the effect when it actually came out of the box. Oh, yeah, I just wish it was awesome. Doing that more with, like, fucking with them and, like, calling people. Like if it, like, called Stumpy Nixon or something. I'm like, that's cool. Okay, out of all of these, I would say I liked Houdini's hand the most, for sure.
I have to say that I like...
No Time for Love.
My favorite was still like Sleep Tight, even though it's rough around the edges. It's that story is so solid because it's fucking disgusting that they're grinding up bugs and selling them as drugs.
If it was Bug more drugs. Focused and the bodybuilder had anything to do with the plot, if he just had just anything at all to do with the plot. And if we had these characters meet somehow, like it felt like a mini story within a mini story, you know? That didn't work for me. You have to have these characters come together in some way, somehow interacting. And it would have made it so much better, so much better. Okay. Well, I think that's everything, Dan. We did it.
I think so.
Another episode in the books.
In the books.
If you would like to contact us and yell at us for any reason, I don't know, you can go to Facebook at www.facebook.com/indiefilmreview. We're on Twitter at indiefilmpod.
We're on Instagram at indiefilmreviewpod.
Yes. Gmail at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. A lot of these links will be in the description.
Find us on Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Subscribe, it was a 5-star review.
Subscribe. We're being hosted on Podbean for the time being at indiefilmreview.podbean.com. We are proud members of the Necropodicon Network. Ah, yes. That's the Necropodicon. No, it's not the. It's necropodicon.com, and it is a network of other people who do podcasts and scream into microphones like us. And they're all really great people. And their podcasts are fucking terrific. I think you should go check them out immediately. If you're at your job, just get up and walk out and go listen to them. If you're driving, just fucking drive like right into a ravine. And so you're stationary and change the channel. I think if you just turn your radio dial, you'll eventually find the Necropodicon Network. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I love you all. Thank you for listening. And Dan, you have the final word.
You got any bug?